This morning we've sung twice already, "Search me, know me," and made an invitation to God to come into our lives and know us from the inside out. Today's message is entitled, "A Visit with Dr. Jesus, Search Me, Know Me." I don't know many people who like to go to the doctor. Is there anybody just relishes the idea of going to the doctor? For most of us, at least, that's not something we anticipate with gladness and look forward to with a particular joy. The truth is, because we live in bodies that are wearing out, all of us are going to be visiting the doctor off and on, and some of us visit the doctor more regularly than others. Now, going to the doctor and seeing him and telling him what's wrong, and he writing a prescription, you paying your bill, leaving, going to the pharmacy, picking up your prescription, taking the prescription 2 or 3 days, feel much better, is one thing. But wait until you're about 40 or so, especially if you're a guy, and the doctor will want to give you the examination. And you men know what I'm talking about. You don't look forward to going to the doctor for that examination like you might just to get rid of a sore throat. You see, as we get a little older, not just for the examination, but he wants to check a lot of things. And he'll probe you in certain places, and he'll poke you in certain places, and they'll send you some stuff home to prep you for coming to see the doctor, and he'll peer inside of you. And I don't know if everybody here has had the experience yet, but one day you'll get one of these when you go to the doctor. Now, the first time a lady gave me one of these and said, "Here, Mr. Huber, go get undressed and put that on." I put it on like any other coat, you know. Just my mother taught me to get dressed this way. In fact, I probably got hit a couple times for putting my winter coat on backwards just to be silly. But obviously the split tail gown goes with the split on the tail side of things. The first time I had knee surgery, I already knew how to put one of these on, but they told me, "Take off all your clothes. Get naked. And put that gown on." And so I did what they asked me to do. I jumped back in the bed and had myself all tucked in, and in came a nurse to shave my left knee. I didn't get completely undressed. I left my drawers on, my shorts. She shaved my leg, put that yellow antiseptic stuff on, and politely said, "Mr. Huber, you'll have to take those off too." And so I did. That was a new experience for me back then, to trust the doctor to take me, knock me out, manipulate me, do whatever he wanted to do when I couldn't control myself. And I'm thinking, "Lady, it's my leg. Why can't I leave my drawers on? What are they going to do?" But that's just the rules. I mean, in the hospital, parts is parts. I know that. But listen, we're not accustomed to letting other people see us without our clothes on. Going to the doctor. Here are some things that people say and do. You know, they know the annual physical's coming up. And you know what they do? Join the gym. Get in shape so when they have the physical, nothing will be wrong. But that's sort of like fixing your car before you take it to the mechanic. You know, you're just going to try to tune it up a little so it's not as bad as it was. I know a fella, his truck blew up because he didn't put oil in it after it seized up along the road. Guess what he did? Went and bought 4 quarts of oil and poured it in there. Just hoping, you know, that after the fact, after it was already worn out, that oil would somehow unseize those pistons. It didn't work. Here's something else people say. You know, on the way to the doctor, the husband says to the wife, or the wife to the husband, "Oh, I have so much pain. I know he's going to tell me I have cancer. He's going to tell me I'm going to die." And the doctor says, "How you feeling?" "Oh, pretty good." You know, aren't we interesting people? When we have all of these troubles, and the doctor, the guy who can fix it, wants to know how we're doing, we fake him out. Ever try getting real close to the eye chart while you're waiting on the doctor to come in the room and memorize the bottom 2 lines? It'll work. You'll get 20/20 vision. You can be legally blind and pass the test. but we're sort of that way. Ever notice what doctors say and do? You know, during one of our honest moments, he says, "So how are you doing?" You say, "I got this pain right here." He says, "Well, lay down." You lay down. He really pushes on and says, "Does that hurt?" "Well, yeah, it hurts. I already told you it hurts before you started pushing and poking. So why does he ask you, does it hurt?" Another thing the doctor says is, "Take off all your clothes." You see, he wants to examine us all over. And then another thing he says to us is, "Stick your tongue out and what? Say, ah, ah." He wants to look inside. And he has some other commands to check other cavities. We just won't talk about those things. But the doctor wants to look all over the outside. And the older we get, he also wants to look on the inside so that he can search us and know us so that he can heal us. You ever notice before you get in to see the doctor, the nurse out front calls you in, says, "Have a seat." She puts on the sphygmomanometer, the blood pressure. Writes that down. Takes your pulse. Says, "Step on the scale." Whew. 287 and a half is a lot better than 291. What difference does that make? But that's us. But what she's doing is checking your vitals. And I know this much. If you don't have blood pressure and don't have a pulse, you might as well go back out and sit down because you're already dead before you even got in the room. They're not going to let the doctor see you. They're going to call the ambulance if you don't have some reading. But once you get in to see the doctor, you see, then something takes place that we need to consider today when we ask Dr. Jesus to search us and know us. Understand this. Help comes when we surrender to the examination. As much as we don't want him poking and probing, as much as we'd rather not be weighed, we don't want to be measured, he has to do those things to compare our condition to what our ideal health should be. And then he can make a diagnosis and give a prescription so that we can become well again. So today, I started by asking you, who likes to go to the doctor on second thought? I know somebody that likes to go to the doctor, that looks forward to it. It's somebody that's really, really sick and believes the doctor can help them. Years ago, in my younger days, I, on a day off, a Friday, moved a whole house full of furniture, it seems, and during that moving, I carried a very heavy dresser up two flights of steps to our attic. And as evening came on, this arm started to draw up. And I knew I was in trouble. I had stretched or strained or something was out of place. By Saturday, I mean, I felt like I had a permanent handicap. Called the doctor. What day is it? Saturday. Too tough to go to the emergency room. I knew I could find a chiropractor open, so I drove around chiropractor office to chiropractor office, and no one was there. Here's an honest thought that I had. If I see a car at a veterinarian's office, I'm stopping. That's no kidding. I wanted to see a doctor. Any doctor would do just about then, and thought maybe that vet could give me a shot to relieve the pain until I could see another doctor. Isn't that amazing? But I wanted to see a doctor. Ultimately, at a chiropractor's office, I saw some cars, went in, explained my situation, and even though he was a Scientologist, I let him adjust me and get me back in place. Now that day, I wanted to see the doctor because I realized how much I hurt and how much I needed to see somebody who could help me. Today I want you to evaluate some scriptures with me. Don't want you to pick up your Bible right now. I have some scriptures from Psalm 139 and Psalm 51 that will show on the wall. We have sung twice today, God, come in and search me on the outside and the inside. And know me just as I am, and all of my life I will humbly bring. So as we go to Dr. Jesus, consider these words. O Lord, this is where the song comes from. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You've probed me and poked me. You've looked in my eyes and my ears. You've checked my throat. You've scoped me. You've given me tests, Lord. You come in and you know me. You know my condition because it needs to be known. Search me, O God, and know my heart. What an awesome thing to say to Dr. Jesus. Every nook and cranny of my heart, I want you to come in and I want you to see it. Lord, not just search me and know my heart, O God, but try me. Test me. Send me to the lab for more tests and know my anxieties. Know my fears, God. Know my worries. Not just my heart, but the depths of my heart. Know me from the inside out, Lord. And listen, Dr. Jesus, while you're giving me that examination, would you check around and see if there's any wicked ways in me? Any shame? Any guilt? Any worthless affections? See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me, turn me, lead me to everlasting, the spiritual healing. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Dr. Jesus, you have that which I need to heal me. For you form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Dr. Jesus, you took your big hand and put over my mom's big belly and said, I know that boy. I know him. The Bible says he knows our name. See, so we can go to that doctor. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. When mom and dad got together, you knew they got together. And when I was growing from conception, you knew me. And so you, Dr. Jesus, are the one who can fix me. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. Dr. Jesus, I want your opinion. What's your professional opinion here, Doc? I need to know what you think. How great is the sum of your thoughts. Dr. Jesus, create in me a clean heart. So I just want to ask you, will you go with me to Dr. Jesus for an examination and a diagnosis and a prescription and a healing today? Will you spiritually say, ah? See, will you stick out your tongue and say, ah, look in there and see? So let's go to Dr. Jesus. First of all, today I want to ask you, want to beseech you, to beg you in a way to say, please, please today let him examine you. Oh, but it's not a good day. It's like knowing that physical's coming and we need a few weeks to get in shape. It's like knowing the appointment's there and we just need to straighten out a few problems on our own before we'll let him see us just as we are. And I'm asking you to keep your appointment today. for sure to go see the doctor, it takes trust. If we don't trust the doctor, we won't let him touch us. Isn't that right? The doctor must examine you. Ever think about this? If anyone else touched you, like the doctor touches you, they could go to jail for touching you like that. You realize how much trust we put in the doctor when he does poke and prod and peer inside? Think about surgery. He knocks you out. He takes a knife and slits you open. If somebody does that in a bar or a back alley, they go to jail for attempted murder. But we say, thank you, doctor. Thank you for cutting me open. Thank you for fixing me on the inside. And so as we go to Dr. Jesus and trust Him, can we say, hey, bring your word that is sharper than a two-edged sword, that's able to divide the joints and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. Bring on your instruments of surgery, Dr. Jesus, and you cut away what needs cut away, and I'll say thank you. We have to trust Him. It is uncomfortable when He examines us, but He needs to see us just as we are. That's why it's required that we become unclothed in front of the doctor. That's how He'll know, when we're just standing there bare naked. Now today we're not talking about physical nakedness. We're talking about a spiritual unclothing, a spiritual nakedness, so that Jesus can reveal to us just as we are. Job said this in Job 1:21. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. Job knew that physically we don't come out with clothes. And spiritually, as God probed in his life, turned him over to the devil to have his way, that there was nothing Job could hide. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 25 about Adam and Eve says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were unashamed. That was before the fall. They had a spiritual innocence. And see, that's what we need to understand, that because He made us and He knows us, we're not hiding anything from Him. And our spiritual nakedness does not bring us shame. It says to the doctor, I am as I am, and only you can touch me where I need touched. And then Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 says, and if that there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. That says, even if you think you're fooling God, you're not fooling God. Even if you kept your shorts on, He still sees your nakedness. We say to the doctor, and today to Dr. Jesus, search me. I don't feel so good. Search me. Check me out. And know me. Learn all about me. And try me. Send me for some tests. Search me, know me, try me, and see what you find out. When we yield to the doctor, we're trusting Him to poke and prod and manipulate. And to Dr. Jesus, we're saying, look at me, Dr. Jesus. Examine me, Dr. Jesus. Run your test on me, Dr. Jesus. X-ray me, Dr. Jesus. Make your diagnosis of my real spiritual being, Dr. Jesus. And we go back for our next appointment, which leads us to understanding we must accept His diagnosis. We go to the doctor. Then we go back and He says, here's what I found. See, there are times when He's doing those x-rays, we'd rather put that lead apron over everything so He can't know anything about us. What's His diagnosis? I would just ask you, did He find any worthless affections in your heart? Dr. Jesus is willing to come in. Would He find those? He knows the real you. You're naked before Him. Those private drives, your real desires. We've sung, "Search me, know me." And then, "Lord, I bring myself humbly. All that I am." Can you say that? "All that I am and all that I am not. Search me and know me. Top to bottom. Outside and inside." Worthless affections. Did He find any? How about in your examination, would He find some secret shame? You know, other people's sin affects us. Some people can take their sinfulness and nearly ruin our lives. And that, when that happens, we want to keep it a secret. And we live with this shame. We don't want anybody to know. See, secret shame comes from secret sin, whether it was done to you or whether you've done the secret sin. And listen, the devil, he likes to take the secret shame of our life and he likes to keep it secret, even from Dr. Jesus. And he likes to heap that, you know, one sin upon another and another and another, because he likes to keep you smothered under that pile of sin and shame. And as long as you won't let the doctor touch you, that devil's mighty happy. And he'll hold you down. He'll burden you. He'll make you unable. But Dr. Jesus is not like that. He says, "Let's look everywhere. Let's even go to the ugliest parts and let's make them clean and bring healing so that you're free." Worthless affections. Secret shame. He might find some guilt. And listen. Listen to me. Look at me. If Jesus is examining you even now and you're feeling the guilt, that's okay. In fact, that's good. Because it is the guilt that defines the worthless affection, the shame, the secret sin that says, "I need the doctor." If it were not for sickness, we would not need doctors. And if it were not for sin sickness, we would not need Dr. Jesus. Do you understand that? Don't be afraid to knock on Dr. Jesus' door any time of the day or the night. You don't have to wait 3 weeks. He's there to heal. The book of Mark chapter 2 says, "While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with Him and His disciples, for there were many who followed Him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw Him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked the disciples, 'Why does He eat with these tax collectors and these sinners?' On hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" See, Dr. Jesus is the perfect remedy for our sinfulness. It's a match. So let's not hide from Dr. Jesus. Let's not study the chart ahead of time. Let's not try to get in shape before we go to the doctor. "I'll clean this up and I'll clean this up and I'll change it, and then I'll be worthy to go to the doctor." That's not how it works. Thirdly, in order to get better, you'll need to consent to His treatment. He can examine you and make the right diagnosis, but if you don't do what He says, you're not going to get better. And for us today, that simply means that we need to humble ourselves. We need to give up and confess, "Just as I am," and say, "Lord, I can't heal myself. I can't save myself. I can't spiritually turn myself around. I need your touch. Humble yourself so that you can be cleansed or bathed. See, that's how He heals. We have sung, "Come, Dr. Jesus, and wash away the guilty stain. Wash away the guilty stain of all my sin." I'm certain from the time I was a little baby, my mom and my dad gave me a bath. And I probably thought it was fun. I still like to take baths. I prefer them over showers. I like to soak a while. I don't have any pain in my elbows, knees, back, feet, neck when I'm in the hot water. I like to have a hot tub. But you know what? I don't look forward to the day that my wife has to bathe me again, or my son or daughter has to bathe me. Because we get to the point we want to do it for ourselves. It's just not right to let somebody else do that. It goes through our mind. You want to get humbled? You go to a nursing home someday and just stick around for a couple of hours. See who cleans up after the people and who goes in with a warm basin of water and some soap and a towel and washes them all over. And see, spiritually, we have to submit to Dr. Jesus that He can come in and wash away the guilty stain of all our sin, no matter how embarrassing it is, no matter how hidden we've kept it, no matter who doesn't know. See, we can fake out a lot of people, but we can't fake out Dr. Jesus. You know, men, you had a chest pain this week. Some of you did, didn't you? And you didn't even tell your wife. And she doesn't know. She probably never will know. We try to do that with the Lord sometime. You know, that flash of a temptation, that quick stumble. And we just fake Him out. Nah, you can't do it. He knows. And only He. See, He even wants you to admit that. He wants to come in and give you a grace bath. And then reclothe you. See, cover my nakedness with grace and then clothe me in robes of righteousness. All of my life to You. All of my life to You I now humbly bring. The ugly yesterday. The worst sins. Your best ambitions. Your wonderful love. And your terrible selfishness. The worst thing you've ever done that you don't want anybody to know, He already knows. All of it I bring. And He can handle it. He's a specialist. I want you to take your Bibles and go in the Old Testament with me to the book of Ezekiel. I just want to read a passage from Ezekiel 16. In Ezekiel 16, God is speaking to Ezekiel and telling Ezekiel, you go to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was God's beloved city. And He said, I want you to deliver a message to Jerusalem. And in that message, God compares Jerusalem to a beloved child. And if you read the rest of that chapter, it says, after God bathed Jerusalem, after God dressed Jerusalem, Jerusalem took advantage of the clothes that God bought, dressed herself like a harlot. Several times in Ezekiel 16, it says, you've been playing the whore, Jerusalem. You've taken my glory. You've turned it to your own, your own worthless affections. But I don't want to draw on Jerusalem. I want to draw on the love of God today, because what He did for them, He wants to do for you. Ezekiel 16:4 says, and get these, try to capture these pictures. God says, as for you, as for your birth On the day you were born, your cord was not cut. Nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, or rubbed with salt to anoint you, or wrapped in swaddling cloths. No eye pitied you to do any of these things to you out of compassion for you, but you were cast out on the open field, for you were abhorred on the day that you were born. And if we have been going to the wrong doctor who can't bring spiritual healing, this is the best that it gets. Nobody even pays attention. Nobody cares. Nobody cares enough even to cut the umbilical cord. Nobody cares enough to wash off the blood. Nobody cares enough to anoint us. Nobody cares enough to wrap us up in swaddling cloths. That's what the world has to offer. That's what doing yourself has to offer. And when I passed by you and saw you wallowing in your blood, I said to you in your blood, live! I said to you in your blood, live! And see, that's God calling the life back into us. Ezekiel, the valley of dry bones, you remember that vision? A pile of bones out in the valley, and he says, what do I do, God? And God says, what? You prophesy. You preach to those pile of bones. Pretty soon those bones began to rattle, and they took up to be skeletons. And he says, what now, God? And he said, you keep preaching, Ezekiel. And pretty soon there was tendons that came on, pretty soon flesh, and pretty soon that pile of bones became the army of Israel. And see, our life can be such a waste. We can be a spiritual skeleton falling apart. The bones aren't even connected. And God says, live! And that's what He said to Jerusalem. He says, I said to you in your blood, live! I made you flourish like a plant of the field, and you grew up and became tall and arrived at full adornment. Your breasts were formed, your hair was grown, yet you were naked and bare. When I passed by you again and saw you, behold, you were at the age for love. And I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That God says, this girl is mine. And you might have abandoned her, but I didn't abandon her. And now she's grown up and you're ready to marry her. I'll cover her up with the corner of my robe. There's grace supplied. He didn't abandon Jerusalem, who was playing the whore, to be on her own. He said, I'll cover you because I called you out of death. And then he says, I made my vow to you and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord, and you became mine. Then I bathed you with water and washed off your blood from you and anointed you with the oil. I clothed you also with embroidered cloth and shod you with fine leather. I wrapped you in fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your wrist and a chain on your neck. I put a ring on your nose, earrings in your ears, a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was fine linen and silk and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour and honey and oil. You grew exceedingly beautiful and advanced to being a queen, to being royalty, a princess. And your renown went forth among the nations because of your beauty. Now in application, we just need to see how wonderful the love of God is. You can't go too far that He can't fix you up. Do you understand me? It doesn't matter what the secret shame is, what the worthless affection is, what you would never tell me or your wife or your husband or your best friend. Dr. Jesus already knows. And He says, live. He says, let me get you dressed. Let me take that. When God said, I made a covenant with you with Jerusalem, believe me, folks, Jerusalem nor Israel ever kept their side of the covenant. Remember with Abraham? The covenant was being made. Abraham one side, God the other, filleted the pieces. God walked through the pieces. What did Abraham do? took a nap, went into a deep sleep by God's intention. Illustrating this, God is the keeper of the covenant because we can't keep our side of the covenant. Israel couldn't keep their side of the covenant. Jerusalem couldn't keep their side of the covenant. Jesus Christ bought and paid for our salvation once for all. We are healed, 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 healed through Jesus Christ. We can't add to what God has already done. He loves us that much. No one else cares for us like He cares for us. All that we have to do, it's like when we go to the doctor, all we have to do is let Him. When I got my new knee a year ago, they put me asleep. And they said, we'll fix you up, we'll give you a new knee. And I didn't have my fingers in the surgery. I didn't hold a tool. I didn't hold up the blankets. I didn't even watch. I slept. And they kept their side. And I come out and I don't limp anymore. I have a new knee. And it's like that with the Lord. We just have to trust Him enough to let Him. So listen, don't run out on Dr. Jesus. A message like this, I think it stirs some things up. And we think about, you know, getting healed. But because it's the deeper things, we probably tuck them away. And I might say, you know, I if God calls you forward today, He does, but if you're still wrestling, see, when you go to the doctor and he says, I think you have cancer, most of us don't go the next day and say, tell me all about it. Most of us deny it for a while and wrestle with it for a while and do some of our own reading on it for a while, and then we say, okay, I need to learn more here. And today, if Dr. Jesus has come in and done some poking and probing and gotten into the depths of the heart, it might take you some time to accept what He found and to say, I do believe that He has the cure. And that's the last thing I want to say today. If you let Dr. Jesus have His way, you will be healed. You'll be reclothed in a robe of righteousness. You'll be covered over with His grace. Now see, I today talked a little bit about the old split tail gown. And you know, it's a funny scene. If you're experienced in the hospital, once you put this one on, you ask for another one and you put it on the other way. That way you don't hang out in the back. But the best we can do for ourselves is a split tail gown. We can't get it all covered up. But Jesus Christ comes in and He says, take those hospital clothes off. And He dresses us in robes of righteousness. There's a passage in the book of Zechariah. It's a vision that Zechariah sees. It's found in Zechariah 3, and I really don't need you to turn there. Let me just set the picture for you. Zechariah has this vision of Joshua, who was the high priest, standing in front of God. And Joshua, the high priest, who should be dressed how? All of his robes and his glory, and he should have his breastplate on and the 12 stones and the Urim and the Thummim, and he should be ready to serve God. And Joshua, the high priest, is in these dirty everyday clothes, standing in front of God. And off to his right is the devil in Zechariah's vision. And the devil's accusing Joshua and pushing him down and pushing him down and pushing him down. And God speaks up. Here's what it says in Zechariah 3. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, who is Jesus Christ. So we have the high priest facing Jesus and Satan standing on his right to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? He said, I have a will for that man. Now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments, and he was standing before the angel. And then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away his filthy garments. And to him he said, see, I've removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. There's the picture. You standing naked before the Lord, Dr. Jesus. The devil standing off to the side saying, you're sick, you're dying. Too many worthless affections. Too much shame. And he wants to snow you under. And Dr. Jesus says, you get out of here. I'm going to heal. And I'm going to cover him with my grace. And I'm going to clothe him in robes of righteousness. And that's what God wants to do for you today. I'm not just talking about salvation. I am talking about salvation. If you have never yielded to Jesus Christ, today is the day to come and yield your life to Him. But I'm also talking about the Christian who isn't living the right way. Who has their secret sin that has led to their secret shame. Who says they want to please God, but they have lots of worthless affections tucked away. And what He wants to do is take our spiritual nakedness to grace. What a beautiful picture. Today is a time to do two things. To forgive and be forgiven. See, to not forgive means we're going to carry around self-will, some worthless affection, what we want. And Dr. Jesus, you see, He can see it. But if you don't let Him, He won't take it away. And then perhaps you're involved in sin. And that's when you need to be forgiven. So it's a day to forgive and be forgiven. And I just invite you to come to Dr. Jesus that He might touch you where you need touched today. So I simply ask, have you been to Dr. Jesus lately? You don't need to raise your hand, but who's having a standoff with God right now? Who hasn't earnestly prayed for a week or two, or a month or two, or a year or two? Who's been saying it but not living it? Who's faking everybody else but not faking out Dr. Jesus? Today it's a day to let Him come to search you and know you. So let's stand and invite the doctor to examine us, to diagnose us, to make a prescription, and to heal us. Search me, know me. If He says come, you come.